Judges 17. Now a man named Micah from the hill country of Ephraim said to his mother, "The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you and about which I heard you utter a curse, I have that silver with me. I took it." Then his mother said, "The Lord bless you, my son." When he returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, she said, "I solemnly consecrate my silver to the Lord for my son to make an image overlaid with silver. I will give it back to you." So after he returned the silver to his mother, she took 200 shekels of silver and gave it to a silversmith who used them to make the idol, and it was put in Micah's house. Now this man Micah had a shrine, and he made an ephod and some household gods and installed one of his sons as his priest. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. A young Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, who had been living within the clan of Judah, left that town in search of some other place to stay. On his way, he came to Micah's house in the hill country of Ephraim. Micah asked him, "Where are you from?" "I'm a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah," he said, "and I'm looking for a place to stay." Then Micah said to him, "Live with me and be my father and priest, and I'll give you 10 shekels of silver a year, your clothes and your food." So the Levite agreed to live with him, and the young man became like one of his sons to him. Then Micah installed the Levite, and the young man became his priest and lived in his house. And Micah said, "Now I know that the Lord will be good to me, since this Levite has become my priest."
Well, friends, it's wonderful to be with you again this morning. I wonder if you've ever had a time where you thought you made a decision that was good and right, but it ended up being completely wrong and it cost you everything. I wonder if you've ever made a decision that was a wrong decision and it ended up being a complete disaster. Well, when I was younger, I had a friend of mine, let's call him Jordan. And Jordan was a very good footballer. Like, he was playing at the highest level for his age group. He was getting picked for the national side for his age, and he was playing all the representative football that you could possibly imagine. He was tipped to have a really bright future in football. However, one day, Jordan started thinking that he was good enough to do whatever he wanted during the week and still play football at the highest level. So Jordan started skipping training sessions. He started running late to the games on the weekend, and he would party till late in the morning throughout the week. And this worked fine for Jordan, to be fair. He was naturally good enough that he could do this for a while and still play at the highest level, get picked every weekend, and perform really well. But eventually, Jordan got too old to play in the youth sides anymore, and he had to trial for a men's team. Jordan got a trial with one of the biggest sides in the district, and it looked like he was going to walk straight into the team. All he had to do was play like he had when he was younger. But then he was given a dilemma. His friends invited him to a party the night before his trial. And Jordan had a choice to make. Did he decide to go to the party and risk not playing his best at the trial? Or did he choose to miss the party, get a good night's sleep, and make sure that he played well at the trial in the morning? Well, Jordan being Jordan, he decided that he was going to go to this party, and he went and had a great night. He was there until 5 a.m. in the morning hanging out with his friends, and then he went home and went to sleep, setting his alarm for a couple of hours later when he had to get up for this trial. But then when his alarm went off in the morning, Jordan decided that he was too tired to get up for the trial. He missed the trial completely. And that meant that he couldn't play representative football at all that year. So Jordan played low-level football with his friends, and he never recovered from this decision. He never got the opportunity to play at the highest level again. Jordan's one bad decision ended up being completely disastrous. It cost him everything. And I wonder if you've ever had a time like this too. A time where you made a decision that you thought was a good and right decision, but that ended up being completely wrong and costing you everything. This morning, as we look at Judges 17 and 18, we're introduced to a man named Micah and a tribe of Israel called the Danites, both of whom make decisions that end up costing them everything. And as we delve into our passage this morning, I hope to show you three things that we learn from this passage that are true for us today as well. Firstly, practicing idolatry consumes you completely. Secondly, we have a God who pursues us. And finally, we need to not just look like Christians, we need to be Christians. Let's start with the first point. Practicing idolatry consumes you completely. So as we begin our story, we see a man called Micah who makes a big decision that he thinks is right and good, but ends up being disastrous. We read in Judges 17, "A man named Micah from the hill country of Ephraim said to his mother, 'The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you and about which I heard you utter a curse, I have that silver with me. I took it.' Then his mother said, 'The Lord bless you, my son.' When he returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, she said, 'I solemnly consecrate my silver to the Lord for my son to make an image overlaid with silver. I will give it back to you.' After he returned the silver to his mother, she took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to a silversmith who used them to make the idol, and it was put in Micah's house. Now this man Micah had a shrine, and he made an ephod and put some household gods and installed one of his sons as his priest. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit." Now, when I was reading this, I was left feeling completely confused. Micah steals a bunch of silver from his mother, worth over $5,000 in today's terms. And when he fesses up to his crime, his mother praises God for him. Even weirder, immediately after she praises God, she dedicates the silver to God, but then proceeds to make an idol out of that bunch of silver. What is going on here? And it doesn't even end there. Micah takes the silver that his mother has consecrated to God and then proceeds to build further idols alongside this silver idol. Now, maybe at this point you're starting to switch off, thinking something like, "Well, I don't have any household gods or silver images in my house, so I don't need to hear this. Plus, I worship God, not some other idol, so this sermon isn't for me." But our story doesn't end here. And as we keep reading, we see that Micah isn't done with his house of worship yet. Micah takes one of the Levites, a member of the priestly clan in Israel's history, and installs him as a priest over this house of worship that he makes. Let's stop here for a second. Micah has just created a house of worship that does everything but worship God. Why is he now installing this Israelite priest in his house of worship? Well, our answer comes in the last line of Judges chapter 17, where Micah says, "Now I know that the Lord will be good to me, since this Levite has become my priest." And this is the root of our passage this morning. Micah isn't trying to worship an idol above God, and Micah's mother isn't trying to install an idol in Micah's house to replace God. Micah wants to worship his idols alongside God. If anything, Micah actually views his idols as a way for him to grow closer to God, hence why he sets up this ephod in his house. And so we're given a picture of a man who loves God and wants to worship God, but who sees the idols of the world and decides that he wants to worship those too. Micah looks so good to the outsider. He's got his own personal priest of the true Israelite priestly clan, and he worships God. But he's just one small degree off the truth. And when anyone is one degree off the truth, you end up being completely wrong in the end. Micah is so close to the truth. He's so close to being a godly man, but at the same time, he's a million miles away. And how much is this a confronting mirror for us today as well? Maybe we don't have the silver image or the household gods lying around his house, but how often do we pursue money or approval in a manner that doesn't bring honor and glory to God? How often do we choose to say, "My kingdom come," rather than "Thy kingdom come"? Maybe it's choosing to miss church for a week to spend it getting breakfast with a friend. Or maybe it's choosing to withhold giving money to the church because I've earned my money and I don't want to give it away. Or it could even be letting how we view one sermon shape our entire view of a church or a preacher. As much as Micah worships worldly idols alongside God, we do the exact same thing over and over again. And the worst part about idols is that they consume us entirely. When we worship anything alongside God, it takes our attention entirely away from God. We stop focusing on the all-powerful Creator and we start focusing entirely on ourselves. And we see this in our passage this morning too. In chapter 18, we're introduced to the Danites, a small Israelite clan that decide to come in and take all of Micah's idols away from him to worship them for themselves. Not only that, but the Danites also take Micah's Levite to be their priest too. Now, if Micah had his eyes fixed on God rather than on his idols, he would have realized that losing his idols meant absolutely nothing. God isn't contained to idols. He's bigger than any idol. And that's why he told his people not to make any ephods or idols to worship him. Because you can't limit God to a silver image. But Micah just doesn't get it. And this is the root of idolatry. It's all consuming, even when you don't want it to be. We read these words from Micah as he talks to the Danites in Judges 18. He says, "You took the gods I made and my priest and went away. What else do I have?" Micah loses his idols and is left feeling like he has nothing left. And this is what idolatry does. It consumes you and spits you out, leaving you feeling worthless, empty, and alone. As Ravi Zacharias says, "Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay." When Micah chose to worship an idol alongside God, he committed himself wholeheartedly to the sin, and it ended up crushing him. And this is true for us as well. Whenever we choose to worship anything alongside God, we give ourselves entirely over to that idol. When we commit to anything other than God, that idol demands much more of us than we ever expected or wanted to give. The idol of success has us looking in every nook and cranny for a way that we can grow our portfolio of achievements. The idol of popularity has us looking for any way that we can make ourselves look or feel better at the expense of everyone around us. The idol of self-absorption has us approaching everything and every situation, even in church, with our own well-being and what's best for us in mind first and foremost. Idolatry is all-consuming. And as we continue to read in the book of Judges, we see that idolatry is also completely destructive. We've already seen that Micah's idolatry causes the Danites to ransack his house and take everything that he owned as their own. But the Danites themselves are also unfaithful. They don't destroy the idol, but rather they worship it as God too. We read in Judges 18, the 600 Danites, armed for battle, stood at the entrance of the gate. When the five men went into Micah's house and took the idol, the ephod, and the household gods, the priest said to them, "What are you doing?" They answered him, "Be quiet. Don't say a word. Come with us and be our father and priest. Isn't it better that you serve a tribe and clan in Israel as priest rather than just one man's household?" The priest was very pleased. He took the ephod, the household gods, and the idol and went along with the people. Then they took what Micah had made and his priest and went on to Laish against a people at peace and secure. They attacked them with the sword and burned down their city. The Danites rebuilt the city and settled there. They named it Dan after their ancestor Dan, who was born to Israel, though the city used to be called Laish. There the Danites set up for themselves the idol, and Jonathan, son of Gershom, the son of Moses, and his sons were priests for the tribe of Dan until the time of the captivity of the land. The Danites established Micah's idols in their own city, which they attained by completely destroying a city that is at peace and harmony. But the end of the passage is crucial for us here. They worshipped the idol until the time of the captivity of the land. In other words, the Danites' worship of Micah's idols ended up with them being captured. Now, if you reflect back on our series from last year on the book of Daniel, you'll remember that the Israelites had been sent into exile by the Babylonians because of their sin. The Israelites' worship of other gods ended up with them being captured by an enemy nation and sent into slavery for a number of years. This right here, the Danites' worship of Micah's idols, is the exact sin that the book of Daniel describes. And every idol that we worship will end up completely destroying us too. When we choose to worship anything alongside God, not only will it consume us entirely, but it will also lead us along a dangerous path that simply ends in destruction. To use the language of Judges chapter 2, whenever we prostitute ourselves to anything other than God, we push ourselves further and further away from Him. We push ourselves further and further away from the one source of true joy and satisfaction. We push ourselves further and further away from the only one who can truly love us in every season of our life. Now, as you're hearing this, maybe you're thinking, well, this sounds all well and good, but I'm happy living how I am right now. My life's working out, so why should I change it? But the reality with idols is that they're all so temporary and fleeting. Maybe right now your life is going smoothly, but what about when an idol fails you? What about when you rely on the idol of approval and then people don't start talking positively about you? What about when you rely on the idol of success and everything in your life or at your work or in your friendship group starts going horribly poorly? What about when you rely on the idol of money, but then the money runs dry or the income stops coming in? You see, idols are so fleeting and temporary, and they always leave you feeling empty and worthless. Idols promise so much, but they always fail to deliver. But yet we still pursue them so often. And this leads me to my second point for this morning. We have a God who pursues us. Things look bleak, don't they? We know that we all chase after idols in our world, just like Micah and the Danites did in the book of Judges. And we know that this ultimately leads to our destruction. But praise God, because the Bible doesn't end in Judges chapter 18. There is so much more to this story, and Judges 18 points us towards a greater and a brighter future. It points us towards a God who pursues us. At the end of Judges 18, we read, "There the Danites set up for themselves the idol, and Jonathan, son of Gershom, the son of Moses and his sons, were priests for the tribe of Dan until the time of the captivity of the land. They continued to use the idol Micah had made all the time the house of God was in Shiloh." Both Micah's hometown in Ephraim and Laish, where the Danites destroyed and made their own city with Micah's idol at the center, were extremely close to the house, to the city of Shiloh, where that God had chosen his tabernacle to stay. The city of Shiloh was a constant reminder of Israel's calling to serve God alone and not to prostitute themselves to idolatry. But even with this being the case, we see both Micah and the Danites being idolatrous right next to God. This presents us with an incredible contrast, as both the Danite establishment in Laish and Micah's house of God were the complete antithesis of Shiloh's house of God. So why has the author of the book of Judges included this phrase at the conclusion of the story? I think it's to provide two significant reminders. Firstly, it reminds us that even when we feel as though we are worshiping God wholeheartedly, idolatry can sneak up on our very doorstep. So we need to be on our guard. But more importantly, it reminds us that even when everything seems to be completely dire, God is still the one in control, and he has a plan that's greater than any plan that the Israelites could have ever imagined. And this mighty plan is culminated in the humbling image of a perfect man, arms outstretched on a wooden cross. And as this man breathes his last, he gives up his life for every single time that we've ever worshipped idols alongside God. For every time that we've chosen money or success or relationships over God, the house of God is no longer living in the boundaries of Shiloh, because when Jesus paid the price for our sin, the house of God moved to dwell in the hearts of every single believer. And this leads me to my third point for this morning. We need to not just look like Christians, we need to be Christians. As we've already explored, Micah looked so much like a faithful man who was obedient to God. He installed a Levite as his personal priest, and he even worshipped God. But we've seen how this story ended. And the story of the Danites also ended very similarly. So how will your story end? Being a Christian is more than just looking like a Christian. Being a Christian means to seek Jesus with everything we have. It means giving up on the idols and serving God above all else. When we're given an opportunity to satisfy our worldly needs by feeding a worldly idol, be it money, success, or popularity, relationships, power, or self-absorption, or any other idol that we have in our world, we need to have the courage and boldness to take a stand for Jesus and not to give in to idols. God will help you do this through the Holy Spirit, and he is with us as we seek to live for him. Jesus has paid the price for all our sin and idolatry. The question now is, how are we going to respond? Are we going to ignore Christ's offer of true freedom, satisfaction, and joy to install ourselves as king and live however we want? Are we going to live a life that is open to the empty offerings of worldly idols, living a life that ends up leaving us feeling completely worthless and ends up in destruction? Or is this morning the morning where we commit ourselves wholeheartedly to our relationship with God, making the pledge to pursue him with everything we have and to enjoy him forever? Jesus held his arms outstretched that each one of us could have a perfect relationship with the Father. And so I encourage you with everything that I have this morning to flee from the idols of the world and to pursue this perfect relationship with our Heavenly Father. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for your love for each one of us. We thank you for your grace and mercy that you've shown us by sending Jesus for us. We thank you for the sacrifice Jesus made in our place. Please help us to flee from the worldly idols that we're so prevalently surrounded by in our society. Help us to seek you above all else, to live for you with everything we have, and to encourage one another to serve you. Equip us to do your will and continue to grow us in our love for you as we each grow in our Christ-likeness. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.